May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you may have met my dog, Louis, or seen me out around taking him for a walk. And one of the many great things about having a dog is that I have to go out at least twice a day, every day, whatever the weather. Not only does it force me to get some fresh air and exercise, it gives me the opportunity to look at the landscape each day and to observe local wildlife and to notice how things change with the changing seasons. Right now, the first signs of spring are appearing. The early bulbs like snowdrops and crocuses are out, as are some primroses. And maybe I'm imagining this, but I don't think that I am. The birdsong sounds subtly different than it did a month or two ago. Jesus encouraged his disciples to notice the things of the natural world, the flowers and the birds, and to learn from them. And not just any lesson, but the lesson of how much God loves. God loves the birds of the air and provides for them. God loves the lilies of the field and delights in their beauty. These tiny parts of creation are a joy to God. That shouldn't surprise us, really, in the creation narrative with which the Bible begins and that we've heard so beautifully read this morning. God looks at different parts of creation and sees that they are good. And when God looks at the whole of creation flourishing together, he declares it to be very good. That Genesis 1 creation narrative often comes up in discussions of science and faith, namely as a supposed battleground to decide who has the truth. Scientists with their theory of evolution as an explanation for life on Earth, or the Abrahamic faiths with the creation narratives found in our scriptures. But for that premise to be correct, that idea that somehow this is a battleground between science and faith, we would have to believe that Genesis 1 is a scientific text. It's not. But what if it's not meant to be an historical account either? What if it is instead a prophetic account? What if Genesis 1 doesn't look back, but instead looks forward? I think this is a reasonable possibility. Genesis 1 may be an account of God's intention for creation, a peaceable world in which life flourishes together. And of course, this wouldn't be the only place in Scripture where the idea of a peaceable kingdom of creation appears. We get it not once, but twice in the book of Isaiah. And we get a hint of it in the passage we heard this morning from Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul writes, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." Well, you might ask, what on earth does any of that mean? Well, I think Paul here is thinking of the Genesis creation narrative we've just heard, specifically Genesis 1:26, in which God gives humanity dominion over the rest of creation. We are to exercise authority over God's creation on God's behalf, as God's children, in the way that God would. Unfortunately, we haven't done a very good job of that so far. We have, in many ways, confused dominion with domination, and have harmed not just other species, but the very planet on which we depend. We haven't lived up to the image of God within us. Creation is still waiting. When Paul writes of creation waiting for the revealing of the children of God, I think that he is saying creation is waiting for us to be transformed so that the image of God within us becomes visible in how we live, how we relate to one another, and how we relate to the rest of creation. In short, for humanity to become more Christ-like, living up to our God-given potential and what it means to be fully human, fully in the image of God. Until then, creation continues to be subjected to degradation and decay. Is this cause for despair? By no means, as Paul himself might have said. One day, creation will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God, freedom from decay, destruction, and cruelty. One day, we will reach the goal that God set for creation, all life flourishing together. Now, we can't, of course, know when that day might be. We can't, by ourselves, bring it about in its entirety. It will come when God's kingdom comes on earth. But that doesn't let us off the hook. That doesn't give us permission to do nothing. As Christians, we are called to live the life of God's kingdom in the here and now. Our lives should be a foreshadowing of what is to come. We are to reveal to creation our true identities as children of God, exercising God's loving, caring, just, and gentle rule over creation. We are only 10 days from the start of Lent. Lent is a good time to take a step back, to reflect on our habits and practices, and consider how well they do, or don't, align with the values of God's kingdom. Lent is traditionally a time of fasting and taking up spiritual disciplines. Each of us may want to consider whether we can use this Lent to take up practices that bring us closer to that peaceable kingdom, things that promote the mutual flourishing of all creation. Some might want to reflect on Genesis 1:29 and the diet it describes. God gives us all the plants and trees with fruit-bearing seed for our food, and take up veg for Lent, changing to a vegetarian or vegan diet during Lent, which is, by the way, a very traditional way of fasting during that season. Some might want to do a carbon fast, finding ways to refrain from using fossil fuels, such as cycling or using public transport instead of driving. Some might want to give to charities that engage in habitat restoration projects or animal rescue of one kind or another. Some might want to commit to praying for creation daily during Lent. And some might simply want to take time to consider the birds of the air and the flowers of the fields and be filled with awe and wonder at the beauty and diversity of creation. And like God, see that the natural world is indeed very good. Amen.